Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Ellie MacArthur. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The City of Kingston has officially received an entry-level bird-friendly city certification from Nature Canada. To obtain a bird-friendly city status, a municipality must earn points across three categories: threat reduction, habitat protection, restoration and climate resilience, and community reach and education. Certification is awarded on one of three levels: entry, intermediate, or high. The city established a bird team about a year ago to work towards making Kingston more bird safe. Notably, the city held a public poll to name an official bird this past fall, a lively race which ended in a tie between the cardinal and the crow. According to the city, Kingston's application received strong marks, bordering on the intermediate level. Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste with the city, sat down with CFRC to share more about the city's bird-friendly status. I was wondering if you could just tell us a bit about the city's bird team and the work that's gone into this to get us here.
Yeah, so the city started working on their bird-friendly certification about a year ago. We have a bird-friendly team, which is we've got some very active people on the team. The team consists of some community groups like Little Forests, Master Gardeners, Kingston Field Naturalists, Sustainable Kingston. It includes people from Queens and St. Lawrence. It includes some representation from some different Indigenous groups. So it's a very active team. And we worked together to pull together an application. And the application really looked at a number of different things. It looked at threat reduction. It looked at how to conserve and restore and create bird habitats. And it looked at how do we engage the public. So the city worked on that, but the team also worked together. So the team came together. They did three World Migratory Bird Days this year. One of the groups had got a grant to run one of those Migratory World Bird Days where they did a hedge seminar. So they taught people how to plant hedges, which were great for birds. Populations as well. So lots of stuff has gone into it. Our application went in. We were certified at the entry level, but we were like 1 point short of intermediate level. So our bird team is working really hard right now to make sure we can gain that point and move us up to an intermediate level for next year.
Awesome. And you just mentioned there, bird team has no plans of stopping. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about what's in the works and maybe what we're going to see in 2026.
Yeah, so 2026, we actually have a meeting coming up in February to talk about what our goals are going to be for next year. I think what you will probably see is some stuff on light pollution that we'll be working on, some stuff on bird window collisions that we'll be working on, and possibly some stuff in roaming cats. There's a lot that's also happening with the city. So right now the city is working on their official plan. We're working on our natural heritage study. We're working on our forestry management strategy. Out of that will also come our tree bylaw. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening at the city that will go into that conserve, restore, create bird habitat sections of the report. And hopefully we'll see some changes in that in the next year as well.
Awesome. And what can residents do to contribute and keep up with all these developments?
We have a new bird-friendly page on the city's website, which talks about all these different areas and gives residents some ideas of things that they could do to help support birds as well. So we encourage people to take a look at that. Other things they can do is just, you know, making sure they're creating habitat for trees, not letting cats roam. If they're leaving out food, understanding where that best is to go and what quality of food people should be putting out. Lots of things they can do, lots of ideas on our website. Lots of work also with Little Forests, Master Gardeners, Kingston Field Naturalists. They're always working on things to do with birds, plants. So anyone who's looking to be involved, that's an excellent avenue as well to join in with the community and work on some of these activities with us.
Once again, that was Karen Santucci, Director of Public Works and Solid Waste with the City of Kingston. As Santucci said, the city and their bird team look forward to setting new goals and advancing Kingston's status as a bird-friendly city next year. Learn more about the city's bird-friendly city activities and how to make your home a bird-friendly space at cityofkingston.ca/bird-friendly. For those looking for a family-friendly New Year's Eve celebration, the city is inviting residents to celebrate at the free, kid-friendly K-Town Countdown event from 5 to 9 p.m. tonight at the Invista Center. Megan Surrett, events manager with the City of Kingston, sat down with CFRC to share more about what K-Town Countdown has in store.
For those who haven't attended in the past, what's K-Town Countdown all about?
Sure. So it's a free, kid-friendly New Year's Eve skating party. So we have disco lights and music from a DJ. So it really is a chance for families to come together and celebrate the New Year. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. And so whether you're an experienced skater or new to skating, it's a really fun event and a chance to hit the ice with your friends and family. And then we also have other activities throughout the Invista Center that evening.
Awesome. And getting into that, I was wondering if you could maybe take us a bit behind the scenes, tell us a bit about what went into planning this year, as well as some of this year's highlights.
The event has been happening at the Invista Center since 2019. Obviously, there were a couple of years where it didn't happen due to COVID, but it's been back since 2022. And it's been a really popular event with families looking to celebrate New Year's Eve during that sort of early New Year's Eve evening kind of time period from 5 to 9. So in other years, we've had lots of different activities. So this year, we wanted to really give families a chance to enjoy their time together. So we've invited a zoo to animal display where there'll be reptiles and things that people can look at while they're there and see some interesting creatures. It's not a touch display, but it's just visual display. So that's available. We'll have face painting, which is always really popular, just to, again, add some celebration. And kids love having their faces painted. So that'll be great. And then another thing that is returning this year is costumed characters. So there'll be people in costumes and characters dressed up so you can take pictures and photos that will be in the concourse of the Invista Center. And so we invite families to come and take some photos and share those memories.
Awesome. And you guys also have that sensory friendly skate. I was wondering if you could share a bit about that.
Sure. The sensory-friendly skate is from 4 to 5 p.m. And so we invite people who may be interested in having a calmer environment to come during that time before the event officially kicks off. So from 4 to 5 p.m., we'll have dim lights, no music. We'll have skate supports and skating aids available, as well as on-site mats. So it's really a chance for people to come and experience the skating party without all of the extra bells and whistles of the party in case they're new to skating or if they have some sensory issues and they just want to have a calmer environment. So everyone's welcome to attend that part if they wish.
Awesome. And what are you personally looking forward to most for this event?
I'm looking forward to the lights and the, you know, I think in the winter, it's wonderful to be able to do something together as a family and bring people together of all ages. And I think having the lights and the music, it's a really fun environment and it's very celebratory and all ages friendly. And it's wonderful to be able to bring people together and have a little added, you know, added jazz to the evening, with the lights and music. So that'll be really fun.
Awesome. And where can folks learn more and attend?
Sure. So they can go to cityofkingston.ca and it's /feature events. And they can find out more information there. And just want to add too that this event is totally free. So everyone is welcome to attend and check it out for free.
Once again, that was Megan Surrett, events manager with the City of Kingston on the city's New Year's Eve celebrations. Jack's Pro Shop will be open for skate rentals for a fee during the event and complimentary during the sensory-friendly skate hour. Haymaker's Canteen will also be open throughout the evening. For more ways to ring in the new year in Kingston, be sure to visit CFRC's events calendar at cfrc.ca. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the week. There are multiple weather warnings in effect for Monday, December 29th, including but not limited to warnings for rainfall, wind, and freezing rain, with the freezing rain warning being the most dangerous of the bunch. Kingston is predicted to get up to 15 millimeters of freezing rain Sunday into Monday. So it's going to be slick. Travel conditions are going to be very dangerous, even if the temperature is actually hovering around the 0 degree mark. Please avoid travel unless absolutely necessary. And if you are on the road, take the required precautions. Tuesday, December 30th, temperatures drop right back down, -9, with possibly 3 to 6 centimeters of snow ending Tuesday evening. Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, another 2 to 4 centimeters of snow falling, with a daytime high of -8 and a bone-chilling low of -17. Thursday, January 1st, the first day of the new year, is going to be cold, with the remnants of midweek snow still on the ground, possibly another 2 to 4 centimeters falling on January 1st. Friday, January 2nd, we're out of the run of nasty weather here in the city of Kingston. Daytime high of -7 with partly sunny conditions, overnight low of -12, feeling closer to -13. Saturday, January 3rd, daytime high of -8, overnight low of -16 with sunny conditions. Sunday, January 4th, daytime high of -7, low of -11. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, January 5th, daytime high of -4 with a 76% chance of light snowfall in the forecast. This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week. As a reminder, winter traffic parking restrictions are in effect as of December 1st. This means that during December and March, overnight on-street parking will be banned only if the weather and conditions require it, so if it's particularly snowy or icy. But during January and February, all overnight on-street parking is banned, no matter the weather conditions. It is a short list of road closures this week. Aberdeen William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street Princess 2 Mac is also closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Berry Street Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. And then in terms of other delays, Bay Ridge Drive Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catarocway Woods Drive Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a multi-use pathway. Front Road Sand Bay to Country Club, expect those same delays for flood proofing, traffic reduced to one lane in each direction. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
This is Christina coming back in with your community events calendar for this week. Starting with Monday, December 29th, easing into the final days of the year. If singing is your stress relief, karaoke kicks off early at Time Out Bar at 6 p.m. Trivia fans have options all night long with One Eye Jacks at 7, Brass Pub at 7:45, and Something in the Water at 8. Moving into Tuesday, December 30th, the Kingston Public Market is open all day in Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., a chance to stock up before New Year's Eve. In the afternoon, Indigenous drumming at Trellis HIV and Community Care starts at 1 p.m. Later that evening, things turn social with Euchre at Daft Brewing at 7 p.m. alongside Jack's Tuesday Night Trivia at 7 p.m. Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, Kingston is packed with options. Celebrations start early with Retro New Year's Eve at 6 p.m. at Grizz, or a New Year's Eve dinner at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 4 p.m. As the night rolls on, you've got the New Year's Eve party at Coven starting at 7, the New Year's Eve dance party with The Change at Shorelines Casino at 9, and a new Queer's Eve celebration at Daft Brewing at 10 p.m. Wild Wings Kingston will also be hosting Dancing Through the Decades starting at 10, and The Merchant Rings in the New Year at 10:30 p.m. Plenty of ways to celebrate. Stepping into Thursday, January 1st, the Kingston Public Market is open again from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Trivia returns in the evening with Riverhead at 7, the Grad Club at 8, and Queet's Pub at 9, while karaoke takes over Tiernanog at 9. On Friday, January 2nd, we have trivia at Wild Wings Kingston starting at 7, followed by country karaoke at The Buckle starting at 9, and regular karaoke at Daft Brewing also starting at 9. On Saturday, January 3rd, another market day at Springer Market Square from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and a New Year's Eve celebration at the square from 1 to 3. Perfect for families who want a daytime way to mark the season. To finish off the week on Sunday, January 4th, late night karaoke starts at the Toucan at 10:30 p.m. That wraps up just some of the events Kingston has to offer this week. For our full events listings, you can visit cfrc.ca. Now let's dive into a few concerts on CFRC's concert calendar coming up this week. Tonight at the Broom Factory, Alan Cross takes the stage at 7:30 p.m. A treat for anyone who loves history, music, and storytelling. Live Jazz also starts off at Musiki at 8 p.m., a perfect low-key way to ease into the week. On Tuesday, December 30th, Roots Tuesdays continue at the Holiday Inn featuring Tegan McLaren starting at 5 p.m. Over at the Timeout Bar, Paula Wood and friends take over at 6 p.m., while Tom's Tuesday Afternoon Happy Hour Jam runs at the RCHA at 7 p.m. There will also be an open mic night at Musiki kicking off at 7. On Wednesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, you can get an early start at the Hotel Wolf Island with Hugh Christopher Brown, Jason Mercer, and Joey Wright playing at 4 p.m., followed later by DJ Great White at 10 to keep the party going. Old Gravel Road and Chris Jackson ring in the night at the Mansion starting at 6, while Dan Curtis Band teams up with DJ T-Mac at Spearhead Brewery at 7 p.m. At The Buckle, Jay Smith, Lucas Oak, and Spencer Green hit the stage at 8, and Guilty Pleasures will be at Timeout Bar also at 8. The Trevor Walsh Band will play Tiernanog at 9, while Hattrick takes over the RCHA also at 9, so plenty of choices to ring in the new year. Thursday, January 1st, New Year's Eve Levy at the RCHA starting at 1 p.m., a relaxed way to ease into 2026. On Friday, January 2nd, the music ramps back up with Happy Hour TGIF running at the RCHA at 4, followed by Cameron Wyatt of Casador at the Coven at 5. Later that night, the Complete Unknowns take the RCHA stage at 8. On Saturday, January 3rd, one of the busiest nights of the week, Jeff Callery returns to the Coven at 5, while Al Lerman plays Montes at 6:30. Heatwave will also be playing the RCHA at 8. Later on in the evening, the Oreos hit the Merchant at 10:30 p.m. Finally, wrapping up the week, on Sunday, January 4th, Wind Down with Eric and Megan at the Coven at 1 p.m. Once again, those are just a few concerts coming up in Kingston this week. For our full concert listings, be sure to visit our website at cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.